All right, hello and welcome everyone to the regular Board of Fire Commissioners meeting for East County Fire and Rescue on September 17th, 2024, Station 91 and online. Let's start with the flag salute. Perhaps our board secretary could lead us in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the Republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thanks. Any agenda adjustments or questions about the consent agenda from members of the board? Commissioner Taggart, any consent agenda questions or agenda adjustments?
Nothing for me.
Okay.
Can you say out loud about Brendan?
Yeah, we're going to excuse Commissioner Addis. He is home sick and is taking care of himself and not spreading whatever he's got to the rest of us. So with those notes, I would call for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. Motion, Commissioner Martin. Second from Commissioner Hoffmaster. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. First opportunity for public input. If there's anyone online or in the room that would like to give input, there's an opportunity now and at the end of the later in the meeting. Okay, hearing none, move on. Looks like no correspondence tonight, correct? All right, so we are off and running to staff reports, starting with Chief Harton.
Okay, well, I have something at the beginning that is not in the written staff report. I want to introduce Mia Santander, our newest part-time firefighter. She's the second newest part-time firefighter. We also hired Trevor Peterson, who's been a volunteer and who's been diligently working on meeting all the qualification requirements for part-time, and he did. So since Dalton Payne is a temporary full-time firefighter till the end of the year, with the addition of Leah and Trevor, who moved to the volunteer ranks, the part-time ranks, that still keeps us at four through the end of the year. Those of you that follow District on Facebook already know about Mia because you saw pictures of her and so forth. More to follow. I've decided who's going to be the member of the week. We'll pick somebody that I have an opportunity to have fun with. Also, late breaking news. We received the preliminary AV numbers from the county, and I had been running our revision of the long-term cash flow based on the assumption that AV was going to be flat this year, and it was not. We were up 2.31%. Well, that's considerably less than the five-year historical average of about 7.5%. Nonetheless, it's a positive number, and that has a positive impact, given that we passed the lid lift, and so it's AV times 1.5, or AV divided by 1,000 times 1.5. For our lawful levy, so that puts us in a little bit better position than I had been projecting. So that's a good thing. And now that I've been kind of slow rolling until I get that number. Now that I have the AV values, I can put the hammer down on getting the budget finished and wrapped up and ready to come to the board in October. So this is my mid-month financial report. Some of the items are repeats from previous months, just for anybody that's new to the party. We started the year with a beginning balance of about $395,828 over our 2023 beginning balance, so that put us in a little bit better position than we thought we were going to be. Our general levy tax revenue at the end of August was at 57%, 15% ahead of last year's tax collections for this point in the year. As the board knows, we receive tax payments twice a year. Yeah. They're due twice a year, and they kind of come in over that window. And uh, uh, we have considerably higher investment interest than was budgeted. We budgeted $10,000 conservatively, and we're $50,742.44 over that. So that also is a positive thing on the revenue side. General fund expenses overall were within budget. 59.32% of budgeted funds have been expended by the end of August, in comparison with 66.67%. If we distributed expense evenly from month to month, and that's illustrated in Figure 1, following our budget adjustment that we did recently, that shows that everything is within budget. Facilities is pretty close to the line. Repair and maintenance is pretty close to the line, as we'll see a little bit later in the chief's report. We do have some challenges in that area. All is good in administration and operations. We have a couple of things that are a little bit higher than we would anticipate, but they may require a fourth quarter budget adjustment, but probably net zero, and may not need to. It just sort of depends on how things go. In repair and maintenance, again, our third quarter budget adjustment addressed line items that exceeded budget, except for two lines, for water tender 94 and water tender 93. Those are both upside down, less than $2,000. We may have some additional expense in that area and may need to include that in our budget adjustment. But the big news in maintenance and repair is our friend Engine 94 was returning from a call on the Washougal River Road, and they experienced a catastrophic failure of the cooling fan, destroying the fan shroud, the radiator hoses, damaging the radiator. It had to be towed from the river road to Pacific Truck and Trailer for repair. That was $539.50. Given our previous bills from TLC, I was ecstatic when I saw how much that was, because the last couple of times it was $1,700, but that was coming out in the middle of snow and ice. Mm-hmm. The estimated cost to repair is a little over $10,000, and the apparatus will be out of service for over a month due to the length of time necessary to obtain parts, because as Chief Jacobs has advised, when he calls to obtain them, it's like, oh, we don't make those anymore. Mm-hmm. So that presents a bit of a challenge, but again, given that we need three fire engines so that when one breaks, we have a reserve engine, we're going to need to replace that. As I discussed with Chief Jacobs, if the first number in that five digits with a comma was more than one, I would have seriously been thinking about seeing if we could borrow a fire engine for somebody else. We're at a point where we have expenses like that, and that's exceeding what the salvage value of the rig is worth, other than the fact that we have to have three fire engines. So more to follow on that. We'll see if we can address that with a net zero budget adjustment, but that may require some help from contingency. In addition, Engine 93 is going to need to have four drive tires before the end of the year. We put that off towards the end of the year to kind of get our maximum life out of it, but they will be reaching their end of life before we get to the end of the year. In facilities, again, we've got a couple of lines that show a minor overage, and they're going to need to be addressed, probably net zero in the fourth quarter budget adjustment. As had been reported to the board in previous months, we have a number of unbudgeted expenses anticipated for facilities. Toilet repair has been scheduled, leaking gutters. Captain Sorensen's working on a plan for that at 91s. Some lighting issues. And the three big projects, the repair of the overhead door drive motor, repair of leaking gutters at 94, and repair of wood trim, and painting of the exterior of 93 have been programmed as capital facilities maintenance projects over the next 2 years. Um, Capital projects revenue, again, we had additional revenue this year because of sale of used apparatus and investment interest. Installation of the diesel exhaust extraction systems has been completed. I think most of the punch list items have been corrected. I'll be following up with Captain Sorensen on that tomorrow. We have the check. It's ready to be, I signed it. It's ready for Commissioner Seed's signature, so that as soon as we're happy that everything's done, they can receive it. We're continuing on with completion of our incident command training. Two members, including Chris Miller, have completed their online training, and we have scheduled the three-day certification lab in October. We'll be having three, at least to this point, we have three outside students that will be attending that and paying a fee to attend. All three of those individuals are coming from a certain fire department on an island northwest of Seattle. They may or may not be staying at Station 93 while they're here. I haven't received confirmation as to whether their district is ponying up for a hotel or whether they're going to convince them to stay in a fire station. The board accepted the $30,000 fire prevention safety grant for completion of the community risk assessment. Again, ongoing work to try and nail down the contractor to help Captain Sorensen with that. And in summary, overall, we're in solid financial condition, and the current year's expenditures overall are within budget. We continue to be plagued by significant apparatus breakdowns, predominantly involving Engine 94. Delivery of the new engine to replace Engine 94 is anticipated in the second quarter of 2025, and this necessitates an ongoing effort and expense to keep current apparatus in service. 10-year prospective cash flow is being updated, and as of the time that I wrote this and sent it to Debbie earlier today, we were awaiting assessed valuation data, and I received it after lunch. Didn't have a chance to revise this. The revision of the long-term financial plan, sort of midterm assessment and revision of the cash flow, that lays the foundation for revising the plan overall in the next year. Because our 2023 long-term financial plan looked at the need for a lit lift, and we did that and so forth, and now things are different. So that plan will need to be updated in 2025, but we will have a significant portion of that work done as a part of the 2025 budget process, so that makes things easier for the next guys in the seat. And
All right, thank you, Chief. Any questions from the board?
No.
Nope. Okay. Apparently, you dazzled us. No questions.
I remain ever hopeful.
Thank you, Chief. Next up is Assistant Chief Jacobs.
Okay, my report tonight is on page 39. Our August EST intended training was on the 27th. September DOC training was here on the 10th. September EST intended training will be on the 24th at Station 91 at 7. The October DOC training will be here on the 8th at 7. The Aries group is working on a new list of area communications resources, which I think desperately needs to be updated. There's some stuff that's gone away, some new stuff that's out there, and having a good list of resources and their locations on a map would be valuable if we ever have a catastrophic communications failure in the county. We hope that's something that never ever happens. But on the apparatus, Chief talked about Engine 94 already, and I won't beat that up anymore. We have replaced the right-hand mirror on Engine 91 that got damaged by the shrub, and I haven't finished that list of tire dates yet. Sorry, forgot to silence it. That's what I have for tonight.
Hi, thank you, Assistant Chief Jacobs. Any questions or from the board? No. All right. Chief Jacobs, I'm going to go ahead and offer a mea culpa. You were telling us, like, I think 3 years ago, it was time to get started on replacing Engine 94, and we just said, we can make it work. You can make it work. And you were 100% right that it was time to replace that turkey a little earlier than we started on it. So thanks for your diligence on the apparatus.
I didn't want to put together the price of what this was going to cost and send it to the chief because I knew it would probably knock him out of his chair. I was shaking in my chair as I wrote it. Oh my!
No, when I came back home after going over and helping the crew that was on it and getting it on the hook and all that, and I went home and I told my wife, I says, "Oh, that's going to be $10,000 to $15,000." So fortunately, I was sufficiently pessimistic that when I received Jacob's estimate, it was like, oh, okay. Well, it was on the low end of what I thought that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Of course, we don't have it back yet.
Right. All right. Thanks. Anything on Volunteer Firefighters Association?
No, nothing new.
Okay. And then Safety Committee.
Okay. Our last Safety Committee meeting was on July 23rd. Next Safety Committee meeting will be the 25th of this month here at Station 91 at 7:30. And no new accidents or incidents known to me since your last board meeting.
Right. And a late-breaking update, there is one that is not known to Chief Jacobs. Oh. That Captain Birch damaged his knee during training today over at Station 42. He went home and went to the dock to get it looked at. I don't think it's like permanently damaged, but
muscles not bone.
Hard to say yet. Yeah, we'll see. I gave him encouragement for a quick return to work. I said because if he's out on work injury, I would be happy to have him come back on light duty and work days. Which is always an inducement for shift work people to come back to work quickly. He did indicate that he had a pile of work that he'd been struggling to get done, and working days might actually be a positive outcome. So we'll see what happens.
Right. So it's not serious.
Yeah.
No, it's a surgery. He was still ambulating. So.
I was glad he told you. I think that's one of those things about we always say, oh, no accidents or incidents, and you mentioned you'd rather have people tell you than not, just because we want to keep a perfect record, which doesn't represent
reality.
The best. Right.
Right.
Because you learn from those things. So I'm glad he's like, yeah, my knee's hurt. I got to do something rather than hobbling around.
It was
Mia that damaged him, but. It's not intentional.
Wow. I was learning a lot.
She was trying to get him out the window.
Oh!
So good.
All right. Thank you, Assistant Chief Jacobs. So we're on to fire district business. Approve or disapprove. We've got the option in the agenda today. The purpose, scope, and policies for SOG 4.2.9 incident accountability.
We always have the option.
I know. I don't think it's usually, you know, like elucidated in such a clear fashion. Yeah.
We try.
That's a Seeds or Taggart level nitpick on the semantics there. All right, so that's on page 40 and 41. So take a moment to review it and see if there's any comments or questions from the board. All right, any questions or comments from the board on SOG 4.2.9?
Do they have a checklist that they go by with these questions? Because I'm like, oh yeah, I know that, but I wouldn't. I'm assuming this is part of training, that they just know this, or there's a checklist, or both?
This is an interesting question, and there's kind of, and this has been in the works since I got here, and my recent work across the river, and also observations on the fire ground that where we've been working, sometimes here, oftentimes when we go visit our neighbors, this is an ongoing challenge because it's a difficult task. So there's kind of three levels to this. One is at the task level. That's the people that are doing the work. And that was one of the things that I observed in the Gresham incident, is that the person that was responsible as the incident commander could not maintain accountability because the people that were doing the work were not where they were supposed to be. And they weren't communicating. So we have to make sure that it's solid at the task level. And then there's the tactical level. And then there's the strategic level. So if we, you know, if we think about an incident of some size where maybe myself or Chief Jacobs is what we refer to as incident commander number two, we're sitting in the fire SUV, we're managing things, we're tracking things on a tactical worksheet. So we're writing things down. We do have a checklist, we have a list of companies, documenting where it is that they're operating and what they're doing. And then maybe we've got Battalion 41 that's a division supervisor, so they're functioning at the tactical level, or what we refer to as a walking around boss. And they maybe have three or four or five companies working for them, between companies that are inside the building, companies are on deck waiting to go to work. And they're tracking them with a different type of a job aid, where we have plastic passports that have Velcro on them and name tags of the people that are on them, and they can keep track of who's where using those, moving them from the front of the it's not exactly a tactical worksheet, which looks like this. It's a plastic board that has Velcro on it that you can put them on the front if they're working inside, and on the back if they're outside waiting to go to work. So we've got a series of tools that we can use to do that. And you have a limited span of control and people that you can keep track of without having somebody helping you do that. So the system is designed that it escalates from when the captain arrives and has one other person or two other people or three other people, because 94 is closed. So they keep track of that by the fact that they can talk to them and they can see them, so they know where they are, they know what they're doing, they know how long they've been doing it, because they're right there amongst them. The division soup, who's outside at the point of entry, they keep track of them using this board, and IC number two uses paper and pencil to keep track of who's assigned where and so forth, and that's kind of how this thing works, when it works right. But we have, regionally, we have some work to do, both sides of the river. Okay. We have some work to do in that area, so we're trying to up our game and make sure that we're doing everything we can do to be able to account for the people that we have working for us.
Makes sense, thank you.
Any other questions? No. Okay, if there's no more questions, I would call for a motion to approve Standard Operating Guideline 4.2.9, Incident Accountability.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Taggart, second from Commissioner Martin. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. All right, next up we have Standard Operating Guideline 5.6.1, Professional Development Plan. That is on page 42. Any questions or comments from the board?
Just curious, I was reading through the different things that are encouraged, experiential training and certification reading, and then the other formal education. Examples of the other formal education?
Yeah, in order to move through the STEP program, it requires college education. So that would be another element of that. For example, for class one firefighter, they have a requirement for a certain number of college credits, lower degree mm-hmm. college credits. To get to first class captain, you have to have a two-year degree. Soon-to-be-developed requirements for deputy fire chief require a bachelor's degree. The requirements for fire chief require a bachelor's degree, master's degree in courage. So those are some of the other mm-hmm. some of the other elements that would be a part of that. And this becomes particularly important should the local end board ratify the tentatively agreed to collective bargaining agreement, which provides some incentive with potential movement from firefighter to lieutenant as a promotion in between firefighter mm-hmm. and captain. So that's over a three-year period with a promotional process to be held to establish a list by the end of 2027 with subsequent promotion subject to the availability of funds in 2028. So this provides a formalized mechanism to help people figure out, oh, what should I do next? What should I be working on? And to give people guidance for that, and for the captains to be able to use that as a tool to help people kind of move that forward.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chief. Any other questions? All right, hearing none, I'd call for a motion to approve Standard Operating Guideline 5.6.1, Professional Development Plan.
Motion to approve.
Second.
That's fine.
All right. Commissioner Hoffmaster made the motion. Commissioner Taggart seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Okay. Next is a procurement SOG update.
Okay. So we the board had previously approved policies related to procurement. Doesn't change the purpose, scope, and policies of the SOG, but we received some feedback from the auditor on how we could improve the quality and efficacy of our tracking of fuel purchases. That's the auditor right now. So we will be making some additions. Pam and Debbie and I have been working on this. I worked on it between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. while I was on vacation. So I've got some tentative revisions, much the same as we have some clarity around use of district credit cards. The fuel cards, in a sense, they're sort of kind of like district credit cards, except they're specific to fuel. So we have some revisions that will be going there, and then as we've continued to work on that, there will also be some revisions in the finance and accounting SOG that we're working on the okay when we're going through receipts and we're tracking fuel use and so forth. That will probably go in the finance and accounting SOG that says okay, what happens when we receive the bill, and we're matching up the receipts to the bill and making sure that the mileage is there, and how do we integrate. Because they were very focused on mileage, and I pointed out that fire apparatus mileage sometimes is not a valid measure because they sit still and pump water or sit still and have the engine running on other kinds of calls. Yes. So that mileage may not be the single thing that we want to look at. So engine hours is another thing that we can look at for the apparatus that records that. And then we can look at historical use and so forth. So we're in the process of building that, and the goal is that in a perfect world we'll have it done before the end of the audit, so we can say, oh yeah, we already fixed that. I think we're probably on track because they have a little bit more to do, and now that I have, now that I have the AV numbers, my life has become much simpler, so. No less work, but much simpler.
So, Chief, cards are assigned to the apparatus, correct?
Correct. And I mean, the interesting thing is, when you look at the best practice guidance, much of it focuses around, larger entities that have their own fueling facilities, and for those that do, for example, at Central Whidbey, we used the county fueling facility, and each person had a card, and each apparatus had a card, and you had to have both of them in there so you knew who bought what, when. Ours are just assigned to the rig, and you know, one of the things that we gave some thought to is to gather a group of us and sit down and say, okay, if we wanted to steal fuel, how would we do it? And then that's the black hat side, and then we run around and put the white hats on and say, okay, if we're going to prevent anybody from doing that, what would we have to do? And some of the challenges are, for example, we have reserve rigs that are over at Station 93, and we have DNR folks that are in there. But the thing is if they were to take a fuel card and use it, we would have no receipt, because they wouldn't turn the receipt in, because they don't have a mechanism to do that. So we know, okay, well, that's, and you know, that would only happen once before we would figure that out, and then we'd take some action on that. It's a little bit more complicated, you know, if we're looking at other apparatus in our own memory. But the thing is fuel cards are inventoried every day when we do rechecks, so on in-service rigs. Reserve rigs, not so much. There's a little bit of potential there that somebody could do a bad thing, and it would require a little bit more work for us to catch them. We would, but you know. So part of it is about just documenting that process and making sure that the auditor is satisfied that we're doing our due diligence and we're doing the best that we can to make sure that nobody's running off with our fuel. We don't have any unusual fuel use. I mean, that's the other piece, is that you know, if that was going on, unless they were using a very, very small amount, we would know. I mean, because the fuel budget is not enormous. It's enough, but you know, we'd start to see, yeah, okay, this is creeping up. So that's yet another measure.
Thanks, Chief. Any other questions from the board on that? Nope. Okay. All right. Next up, we have the fire chief recruitment timeline.
Okay. So when we posted the announcement, we had an application close day, but there's several other events that need to get put on the calendar. For example, the applications close on the 4th. I'm going to be out of district the 2nd, 3rd, and the 4th of the month at a blue card conference in Cincinnati. Yeah, in Cincinnati.
I'm also going to be home.
So I would recommend that the board move their workshop to the week of the 7th, and that we use that time to review applications. I'm okay all week.
Did you just say the 7th of October, or 7th of October?
The week of the 7th.
The week of.
Oh, Sunday, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Sunday's the 6th, but that week, if we could move the workshop to there, and if need be, I can have all the apps scanned and sent to you so that you can do that remotely if you want to.
I'll be gone that whole week.
The week of the
Dave
week.
And I will
but
hold
we'll
it down.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
But I will be gone.
Okay. Yeah, my personal calendar is clear the week of the 7th, but I don't have my work phone with me, so I don't know what is on my work calendar for that week. So, but we can set a time, and if it doesn't work, we'll just have to set another time. So I don't want to hold things up. So I think I'm probably okay in the afternoons that week.
I'm good any time for that week.
Works for me.
Okay.
Any day? Is that what I'm hearing everybody say? Any day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty good all
on that. 3.
Okay.
You want to go at 3 o'clock again?
Yeah, why don't we try that Thursday then, whichever date that is.
That's the one I have written on my calendar, so.
Oh,
you wrote down the Thursday of that week, so.
Okay.
What would that be then, the 10th?
Yeah, 10th.
Yeah.
Okay.
The 10th.
Yeah, let's try the 10th at 3. And if there's an issue for myself or Commissioner Addis, I'll reach out. I'll reach out to the board.
I will do before the 10th is I will do a summary sheet which lists the candidates and how they match up to the qualifications that are specified in the job announcement, so that the board has that summary and can look at that and then can dig into the individual applications. And my hope would be that we would exit that workshop with the board having identified which of the candidates they would like to put into the panel interview process.
Okay.
And then on the 11th, I would send, or Debbie would send, notifications so that they can start making their arrangements to arrive. And then that brings us to when we do the meet and greet and the assessment center. And part of this is being driven by a couple of things. One is that the getting an appointment for the successful candidate who receives a conditional job offer to get in and get a medical physical and a psych eval, that takes 4 to 6 weeks. So that means that we need to be sort of done that process in time to get them cranked in there. And then provide them time to be able to be here by January. So my thought was the week of the 28th of October for the meet and greet and the panel interviews. And I need to be able for the tech panel. I have to be able to get those people lined up. So I need to tell them what date this is going to be on. So any time that week would work from my perspective. That gives them 2 weeks from being notified to be in here and able to participate in that process. And in thinking about the meet and greet and the assessment center is that the meet and greet is the evening before the panel interviews. The panel interviews, hopefully, if we have no more than 5 candidates participating, we should be able to get through the day and for the board to receive a briefing from the other 2 panels on their take on the candidates. The board has a couple of options. One is they could choose to have a special meeting sometime between then and the 5th, which is their next regular scheduled meeting, 5th of November. And they could either make a decision at a special meeting before then, or they could make a decision at their regular meeting on the 5th, and then we would get cracking with getting them scheduled for medical, physical, and psych eval, and doing the background, talking to their employer, having the local give a conversation or give a call to their the president of the local in their organization to find out what their labor relations are about and so forth, and kind of put all that back together to get back to the board before determining, yes, they have successfully completed the background investigation, medical, physical, and psych eval or not, and then on from there. And the hope would be that we would be able to have that accomplished by the 5th of November. If we didn't, we would probably want to get a special meeting scheduled the following week if the board needed to have further discussion and conversation about that.
So we need a couple dates set up, correct?
What's that?
Do we need a couple dates?
So we need 2 days. We need an evening and a day for the meet and greet in the assessment center. And those should be consecutive because they're coming. They'll be here for 2 days, kind of thing. and that ideally would be the week of the 28th.
So the 29th, the Tuesday, I am going to be out in the woods for work. So that Tuesday is out. No,
just kidding.
There will be no possibility of that. Middle of the woods, Martha.
No.
Be somewhere out on industrial forest land in my official role in the other state. But I think the 30th, 31st or November 1st would work fine.
If we did the assessment
day.
Center on the 31st, we could ask them to come in costume.
I think so.
That's the true test, right?
It is, actually.
Or if you're going to do the 31st and the 1st, they could come to the meet and greet in costume. So, you know, either way would be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so the 30th, 31st, or November 1st all work for me.
Those work for me, yes.
Yeah, I'm good either way, either day.
Whatever we decide to do those days.
Okay.
At this time, I'm just going to go.
Okay, well, I'll pencil in the
30th. That way it's open.
I'll pencil in the 30th and 31st.
Okay.
And then I'll get to work on David Scott and Chief Ree and so forth and get them lined up for the 31st.
David Scott's got to come in costume.
If that proves to be a problem for those folks, I will let the board know and we can make a decision on moving it to the 31st and 1st or whatever. But,
sure.
I'll give it a shot on that, and then the thing with the decision about whether or not the board wanted to have a special meeting before the 5th, again, that's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. If you wanted to have one, or if you wanted to, you know, it may be readily apparent at the end of the assessment, you may say, oh yeah, we know who this mm-hmm. person is. But if not, and you take the 5 days to think about it and then come back and make your decision, that still leaves us plenty of time to be able to to get the next bits moving along. And we do have one candidate so far.
Wow.
All right.
Very good.
First glance, without really like going through the fine tooth comb, they appear to meet the requirements. But.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, good. All right, thanks. Any other questions or comments from the board? Nope. All right. Thank you, Chief. All right. Next up is risk group support discussion. And I assume that's you, Commissioner Taggart?
Yes, it is the Chief and I. We were both at the meeting. I included in the packet, had to be put in the packet, basically the information that we have. BFIS, basically 2 months before the our insurance was to be renewed, they made a bunch of changes to the policy, which raised deductibles, got rid of the management liability insurance, just a whole bunch of things that are not so cool. And what really did us was the agreement, if you want to get out of the risk group, you know, as part of a member of the risk group, you can't do it within 90 days of a renewal of the policy. And so there's no option for us to leave the group. And we may not want to do that anyway. It saves each department saves about $20,000 a year by being part of the group. That's the numbers that they threw at us anyway. So we have a couple of options. They're looking at Providence as a provider for insurance. They're waiting for a quote on that. And if that doesn't pan out, then we'd have to look at a state policy, which is really our last resort for insurance. But the management liability stuff is actually very important. So I'll know more tomorrow afternoon at 3:00, I think. Yeah, we have a meeting, another risk group meeting tomorrow at 3:00 with updates on how it's all going with Providence and see what our options are. We're also looking at we are looking at using another insurance agent. Right now we go through an insurance broker, And she's the one that's kind of dealing with this, but we're going to talk to some other agents as well. And I'll have more updates on all of this at our next meeting. So I just wanted everybody to see what's going on and where the plans have come from. And that was on everybody's mind quite a bit. So.
And it wasn't just the claims. There was also some potential claims because of some
right.
lawsuits that had been filed in a couple of things that hadn't gone to court. So it's not like there's a claim out there, but there's a potential. Mm-hmm. And they were looking at this that the kind of the claim history had been going up, and it was like, oh well, this you know these guys have a lot of claims, so we should probably get rid of them. And again, last minute, the members of the risk group started to get wrapped around the wheel about how unfair it was and so forth. And it was like, okay, well, really, since they're not willing to talk to us and they're not willing to work with us to find a resolution to this, then we can sit here and we can complain about it, or we can get after finding a solution. And that was eventually what the board decided, or what the group decided to do, was to see if we could find another alternative.
Very good. One claim. Did I get that right? Let me see if I claim on this list.
There is.
If you're speaking, Mark, I can't hear you.
I don't know, because I'm not. I'm moving my lips.
Oh.
Yeah, we have one claim in there.
Yeah, that was just
the stolen portable equipment.
No, there's another one.
Is there another one?
Yeah, there's.
Oh yeah, water pipes.
Station 94.
Frozen, broke inside fire station. That's right.
That one. Oh no, there it is, right above that one. Okay, it's on the same page. Okay, so we have two. Bigger though.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Tigard. Anything? Any other questions or comments from the board? No. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Tigard, for bringing this.
You're welcome.
All right, and then last item of fire district business, establishment of deputy chief compensation range. So we've established a deputy chief compensation range. All right, so this is page 51, looking at same comparables and total, and giving us figures for total comp, 152,000 to 218,000
for total comp.
So pay, deferred compensation, all benefits including leave, and that the median salary for a deputy or assistant chief is about 144,500.
Correct.
Which fits with 85% to 100% of the fire chief. Of a fire chief's median is the range that's typical for.
Yeah, the range. If we put it in round numbers, it's from about 123 to 145, and that's going from 85% of the number two chief median. The thing is some organizations call it assistant chief, some call it division chief, some call it deputy chief. They have varying numbers speaking from, but usually either three or four. In each of these cases, the chief that was immediately below the fire chief, that was the one that we looked at, and the range that seems to make sense is 123 to 145, and that's because with the fire chief we said, okay, the median is the top end and the bottom end is 85% of the median, so that's what I applied to this state as well. And that sort of puts it in a reasonable sequence between captain and the fire chief.
Okay. And so as a reminder in our advertisement for hiring a chief, the range we put was 150 to 170, so. Okay. Anything else we should know about that, or is this just we're going to be looking at in the budgeting about whether or not we can afford a deputy?
If I'm going to, at your direction, was to include the deputy chief in the budget, if it was possible for you to do so, which it appears that it is, particularly with the 2.31% increase in AV, that allows us to do that and extend out before we get to the 38%. Magic number, 10 years, based on all the assumptions that are built into the model. Mm-hmm. So that gives us a little window before we would need to see another lid lift, and that's inclusive of the three additional people in this position. So four positions, which is what we told the people we were going to do. So we're going to do what we said. Again, I've got a little bit more work to do on the cash flow, but all the big bits are in there, and this looks pretty solid. The other piece that I'll be bringing back to the board probably at their next meeting will be a classification specification for this position. We're not gonna at least. My recommendation would be not to fill this position until after you hire the fire chief. But we should have the bits lined out, because we'll do the classification specification for this, and then the represented positions, and I'll be working with the local collaboratively to nail that down and make sure that those make sense to them for captain and lieutenant. So we have that lined out as to, oh, that's what this would look like. Hopefully all of that will be done before the end of the year. So, and I'll build the budget on the basis of 145 for the deputy chief, and then it's up to the fire chief and the board to see where you go with that.
Okay. So
just real quick, we're frozen.
We are frozen.
Yeah. Everybody's frozen.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong.
It's a movie.
All right. Yeah, hopefully it'll catch up. Are we still?
He says he's still in, but I don't think it's recording.
Okay. Well, we can wait a moment.
I don't know what's
going on.
He's still using
the
recorder.
Yeah, so
yeah.
We're good.
We're good. Okay. So, Chief, we would. We would not, if we're not filling the deputy chief position next year, then presumably it would be the next fire chief who would be hiring the deputy chief.
Well, we would be filling, the plan would be to fill it next year, but it wouldn't be filled on January 1st.
Right. So we get the new fire chief on board, and then later in the year, a deputy chief position would be filled.
And again, the thing is that again, once we know the answer as to who's going to be sitting in the seat, then we can have a conversation with them about that. The process for that recruitment would be different than that of the fire chief, because the board hires the fire chief hires everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, just so happens to have a deputy chief's hiring process. It's in a can somewhere. I've done that twice, so that would be a thing where in that process of handover, if we began that process in the month of December, then it's quite possible that I could work with them to have the meat of that kind of lined out if they were amenable to that, and then they can make it their own. But the framework for that exists. Oh, here's the kinds of events that you do. There's an incident management problem. There's a personnel management problem. There's a technical leadership interview, and they could put the meat into that. But the framework of that is there. So we could potentially advertise the position in January to be filled, maybe in February or March or something like that.
All right. If there's nothing else from the board, then that concludes fire district business, committee meetings, communication with neighboring elected officials. We've got City of Camas on October 22nd, 3 p.m. here at Station 91, City of Washougal on November 21st, 3 p.m. at City Hall. Risk group is to be announced. Since Commissioner Taggart is frozen, he did say that he'd be...
Yeah, he can't hear us.
Okay. He'd be meeting with them tomorrow.
Yeah, both of us.
It sounds like. And so there'll be more discussion on that. We should hear more at our next meeting. ECAB, nothing? Nothing there?
Well, I get, once I get the bits of the budget in, I need to start pushing on them because I need to get a meeting with Cliff to begin the conversation about renewing our interlocal agreement.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's an ECAB thing. I think that that's more of two agencies having that conversation, and you know we can see where that goes. I think probably he and I and Chief Ford might have a initial conversation around that, and then you know, maybe you and I can collaborate on that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you can just call me when you need to bring in the bad cop.
Yeah.
Look at the grin.
That's kind of how it went last time. It was Chief Harden, not Chief Harden. Chief Carnes was a good cop, and I was the really interested in specific numbers cop, I guess. I don't know. All right, thank you.
Well, I think at our previous meeting, it was sort of like bad cop, worse cop.
Yeah, and the next safety meeting is the 25th of September.
Yes.
Here, all right. Commissioner comments. So let's start with Commissioner Martin.
Okay. Well, I wrote it on my notes because you mentioned Gresham. I tell you what, that wonderful young man is out of the hospital. He's in a rehab facility,
yep.
Correct?
Yep.
So it's kind of like transitioning to there and then a home. But he's alive and he's healing. And my gosh, just... touches my heart when that's such a big deal. So I just thought I'd mention, shout out to him and his family, and thank you for all your work. I'm sure that was really important. Well, I'm sure. I know it was really important. Duh. And that's pretty much it. Other than, I think wildfire season might be over.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah.
Oh, quit.
But speaking of Gresham, I think the board probably saw it in the news recently about the airplane crashing in the townhouses in Fairview.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
Also Gresham's response area.
Yes.
The senior battalion chief that I've been working with on the investigation happened to be the incident commander. A good friend of mine who was a captain in Gresham was one of the division supervisors, and Nikki used to be a firefighter here who got promoted to lieutenant in Gresham a couple of months ago. She was running the other division on the big end of the building. So one of the things that I'm noodling around, I haven't quite exactly figured how I'm gonna get it to happen, but I'm gonna try and get the three of them to come over here and do kind of like a professional development thing like we did with Matt and the mayor and my buddy Chad, and talk about their experiences with that particular incident, because I think it's particularly interesting. It'll be a 10-minute training coming out on that this week, I heard back from the captain. She thought that the 10-minute training was really good, and the questions that I asked about what happened was were really on point. I didn't hear from the battalion chief, so he may have been less excited about the questions that I had to answer. But we'll see. But I'm going to try and get them to come over and share their experience with us sometime in the next month or so.
All right. Thanks, Commissioner Martin. Commissioner Hoffmaster, any commissioner comments?
I guess I would also be so grateful that the news about our firefighter from Gresham, I watched it on TV the other night, and I was pleased, and it fills your heart, doesn't it? It really, really does. He's going to be better, and hope for the best for him. So that's about all I have.
Thank you. Hey, Commissioner Taggart, can you hear us on the speakerphone over there?
So mostly.
All right. Any comments?
No, I have nothing this evening.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so for me, I would note that recreational fires in an approved fire pit are now allowed as of this morning.
Oh.
So if you want to go have a campfire in the rain, you can do that. But burn ban is still up for everything else until at least through the 30th.
I'll let you burn in your fire pit.
Yeah.
Marshmallows or
one, yeah, you can burn your yard debris like one branch at a time, I guess.
I reduced my yard debris on Whidbey Island one fire pit at a time each day that I was up there. So.
It does work,
but
yeah.
But I would either have a glass of wine or I'd have a beer and I'd sit out there and I'd have some tunes on and it was like, this is pretty good.
That's good. And then the other comment I had is I read through the whole of the tentative agreement, and I really appreciated the change summary. That was helpful to know exactly what was in there. I think I think it was good work, and I'm looking forward to discussing it and having a vote on it probably at our next meeting. Is that?
The local found a couple of typos and some things in there that they tweaked up.
Funny you should mention that.
Yeah.
I have a list of typos.
Yeah. So you can forward that to me.
Yeah.
I'll get together with Kevin Sorensen and we'll make sure those are addressed. We have clean copy by the time we're ready to do it.
Okay.
He had gone through it with a fine tooth comb, and I think Kevin did as well, and they found a couple of things.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send you an email or something that has the page numbers and description of the.
See, the thing is,
the period where there's supposed to be a comma or whatever.
Outlining now, and page numbers in a table of contents, so we can find our way around that.
Right. Yeah. Now, organizationally, it looks good, and then also I think there's a lot of stuff that's clear. It looks much more professional and. Easier to understand, so good work to all. And that's it. That's all I have for commissioner comments tonight. Let's see. So anything for the second opportunity for public comment? So if anyone in the room, the young citizen in the back maybe, no, or as a comment, second opportunity. All right, so hearing nothing, go ahead.
We tentatively have the 23rd of October through the 26th for candidate testing for the firefighter position. That's what myself and the other two gentlemen that have been allocated towards that process. So we're looking towards the end of October for that.
Okay.
To move forward with the physical walkthrough day, the physical day, then 1 to 2 days for doing the actual interviews and skills, evaluations and what have you. So hopefully by the end of October we should have a list of candidates ready to move forward. Huh?
Pool of candidates.
Pool of
candidates.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, there's a really big difference.
Is there?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. List of candidates, you go in order of the list. The pool list is you have
everybody's
a pool of people
same.
That are qualified, and then you reach in and you pluck them out of the pool.
Yeah.
Some float, some don't.
That's right.
That's a great metaphor.
Yeah. I'm a floater.
You're a floater.
Thank you. Do we have any?
We're the okayest firefighters in the world, buddy.
Oh, man. There's a backstory to that one.
Do we have anything for local board for volunteer firefighters and reserve officers? Nope. All right. So the little meeting's open and shut. Upcoming meetings, we have our monthly event calendar in the back of the packet. Our next regular board meeting is October 1st, a little ways out. Here at Station 91, 6:30, also online. And then our next commissioner staff workshop, we've got tentatively set for the 10th at 3 p.m. to evaluate chief candidates. And that's it. There's no executive session tonight, so I would call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, Commissioner Martin has the motion. Commissioner Hoffmaster has the second. All those in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
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 Aye. We are adjourned.
Bye, guys.
Bye.